Heavenly Father, we worship and welcome you, Lord, once again. As we go into your word, we recognize that, Lord, it is the word of the Most High God. And so, Lord, in ourselves, we are inadequate. Lord, we are unable to minister and to receive it. And so, Father, we come to you for fresh mercy. I personally come and I ask you for mercy. Lord, that you will grant me fresh unction, Lord, from your throne, Lord, and divine enablement to enable me to teach and to preach your word, that your word will flow out of me like a stream of living water, and that, Lord, you will cause it to come forth with power, with clarity, with simplicity, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit, that it will do an eternal work in all of our hearts and lives in the name of Jesus. Let our wills, as your word goes forth, be more submitted to your will. Let our minds be more illuminated with the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And let our emotions be further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. That Lord God, Lord, Lord, that this word will accomplish an eternal work in all hearts, including my own, causing glory to go to the name of Jesus and blessings to come to us, the sons of men. I also ask you for mercy to be faithful. Help me, Lord, as a scribe instructed under the kingdom, to be concise, to be precise, to redeem the time, to say only those things, Lord, that you would want me to say, so that, Lord God, I will bring forth out of the treasure of this word things both old and new in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that as your word goes forth, Lord, you will back it with your power. Let yokes be broken. Let blind eyes be opened. Let deaf ears be unstopped. Let bodies be healed. Let there be an edifying coming into the body to the praise of your glory in the name of Jesus. Lord, I come to dock under the covering of my spiritual fathers, Pastor Luby and Mommy Sarah, and I ask that as I stand here to minister, let their mantle, I beseech you, rest upon me. That, Lord God, you will enable me to minister this word as they would have done it if they were here personally, in the name of Jesus. And let that word bring them refreshing, bring them joy and gladness, bring edification, enlightenment, and reconciliation into the lives of my brethren in the name of Jesus. That there will be an increase coming unto the body in this house this morning to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, we saw that in our last lesson, our Lord Jesus Christ, when he resurrected from the dead, was both God and man. Amen. Okay, he was his creator and co-owner of all things with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, they are the same. They have the same character, the character of love, and they have all power, all resources, and all wisdom through the fullness of having the same nature. So the nature, Zoe, which the Bible calls eternal life, also translates it as everlasting life. That nature is the source of all that God is. You know, and if you can reduce God to the very bare essence, that essence is Zoe. And that's what Jesus came to share with us. Amen. Bible says, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundant. So God has life in fullness. And his plan was that by sharing that life with us, we would also have that life in fullness. Amen. And that's what it goes. That's what's going to happen in our lives in Jesus' name. Now, we also saw that fullness is what makes God supreme head over all creation. Amen. And the Lord Jesus Christ, we saw, is the first creature to pass from spiritual death, a state of being separated from God, to a state of spiritual life and the fullness of life, in fact. Amen. You know, and the same way he did pass from death, spiritual death, to spiritual life, God is also taking us from spiritual death to spiritual life. Amen. To the fullness of spiritual life. Amen. And that's what the Bible means when it says, so we also are going to be like God in nature. We're going to be like God in character. And then God will be pleased to share
by releasing the power of the Spirit of fullness, the power of the fullness of the Spirit, that measure, by releasing it to us, He will now share the fullness of His wisdom, of His power, of His resources in Jesus' name. That's the plan. Amen. And so that as God reigns in heaven, heaven is the original, and God reigns in the original. Amen. We also, through Christ Jesus, will reign on earth. Amen. Amen. And that's the will of God. The Bible tells us in Romans in chapter 5, verse 17, that through one man, as by one man came death, also by one man came life, so that all of us can reign. Let's look at it. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. It says, for if by one man's offense, death, let's read it together. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, that's Adam, much more they which receive the abundance, that's the fullness, of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And we saw that in doing that, when Jesus rose up from the dead, He became the head of all principality and power. He sat at the top of the chain of authority and command in the realm of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. He raised us up with Him to sit with Him in that same position legally. Amen. So we are in that same position. And that was the position that God gave Adam. But when Adam sinned, He gave that position up to Satan. Okay? But when Jesus went to hell, He paid the price. He spoiled principalities and powers. Amen. And took the keys of there and went back to the top of the food chain. And guess what? He took us with Him. Amen. Amen. So we are also seated there positionally, legally, in that seat above all principality and power. And we saw that, no, last lesson, we saw that there are cadres of authority in the realm of the Spirit. You have wicked spirits in heavenly places. The Bible talks in Ephesians, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We have rulers of the darkness of this world. We have principality and we have powers. Wicked spirits rule over continents. They release spiritual power to control what is going on in continents, control the weather, and make all these things do what they want them to do. That's how they operate. Now, rulers of the darkness rule over nations. So you have a ruler over a specific nation. We see that from the Bible where it talks about the prince of Tyros and the king of Tyros. The prince of Tyros is the natural ruler over that nation, and the king of Tyros is the spiritual ruler over the nation. And that's why we need to pray for our leaders. Because there is a spiritual force. You know, you look at them and say, why is he doing what he's doing? There is a force in the heavenlies that is seeking to make him do the wrong thing so that Satan can establish his will on the earth. And so, but when we who are called by his name stand up and pray, we break that force. Because originally we are over Satan, you see. So when we break that force, then it is now the kingdom of God and the will of God that man, prince, will now do on the earth. Amen. And we see God's going to change Nigeria in Jesus' name. Amen. So don't be discouraged. Don't be moved by what you see. We have understanding. You know, I need to have that understanding in your mind. You know, so we see that that's what rulers of darkness do. Now, principalities, you know, are over localized areas, like over a state, for example. So that's why we need to pray for your states. And that's why we pray for your state. Amen. Don't complain, brethren. Pray. We need to pray. Because when you pray, then you allow God to be able to do what he wants to do. Amen. Amen. And then, of course, we saw that there are what you call powers, and these are, yes. So you have federal government, state government, local government in the spirit realm. In fact, you know, they don't even span the intercontinental, they span continents and coordinate activities. So that, no, as this person is in, they say, it's true, that's how it is. But they are the ones doing it. It's not by accident. Nothing happens by chance. Everything is orchestrated. You can only ignore that to your peril. So we need to then take over the orchestration of our destiny. Amen. And be in control of our destiny. Amen. Now, God desires that having then been born again and been recreated so that Christ, the nature of Christ is now in our spirits, he wants us to now use that nature by operating the law of the spirit of life to flush out the nature of sin in our souls and in our bodies. You know, and as Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, we have to follow his example. Amen. And then we do the same thing that he did. And when we do it, as we operate that law of the spirit of life, we gradually flush out the sin nature. We perfect the love of God. Amen. And then we overcome to prevail, to sit with him in his throne. When we sit in his throne by experience, we then inherit that position that we had legally. So there is a legal aspect to our redemption, and there is a vital aspect to our redemption. Amen. The vital, you get it by perfecting the love of God, by entering into the fullness of that love. Then God entrusts you with the power of the Spirit that measure. Then you inherit. And Bible now that saying will now come to pass. Now say, this day I have begotten you. Now God's going to say that to you in Jesus' name. That thou art my son. So you have sons. We have all sons, as it were, positionally. No, that's potentially. But we then become sons by experience, by overcoming, by the law of the spirit of life in Christ, just overcoming the sin nature, you know, overcoming the power of the spirit in the air and exercising dominion. And then God, you know, then releases towards the power of the spirit. And then we sit with Christ in his throne. And that's the will of God. And then we reign. And when we reign over a particular sphere of influence. Amen. Okay. And what God plans to do is that there will be, you know, the Bible calls Jesus the King of Kings. So when you inherit, you become a spiritual king. And God is raising up kings in this time. Amen. Amen. And we trust in God. We thank God for our fathers in the house. Amen. And we see that God, that's what God is. And God is raising up even many more kings. So that, you know, as Pastor taught us the other day, when he was teaching us, you know, about controlling the sphere of your influence, there will be an overlap, you know, between spheres of influence. So after a while, we form like an umbrella, and Satan has no room to operate. It's like many umbrellas overlapping put together. So when he looks down from heaven, there's no room. Everywhere is covered. That's the will of God. Amen. And note that those kings have princes under them. So they also, you know, also, you know, in their place will extend the measure of so that from top to bottom, wall to wall, God, his kingdom will come and his will be done. And that's what the Bible means when it says that for as long as I live in Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 14, the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. That's the will of God. It's possible, brethren. That's where God is taking us to. And that's what we're talking about on Wednesday, but where I was sharing about the promise and the promises. Amen. You know, that's the promise. The promise is that we will reign, and in us the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Now, it's important to also mention that all things consist in him. What does that mean? When the Bible says all things consist in me, it means that everything has its source and its root in him. Everything is operating through him. And everything was made to give him pleasure. The Bible says of him, through him, and to him are all things. Amen. All things belong to him. You belong to him. But you better accept it. All things belong to him. Okay? And you know, and it is in him that they find their fullest expression. You must understand that the ultimate and the best is in God. So you know we know that, and we see that, you know, as we provide that covering over the earth, then like the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, the Bible says the whole earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. We see the same thing happening now. We see that men are void of the life of God. They are without form. They don't have the character of love, of the character of God. And darkness is upon the face of the deep of their minds. We're talking about, the Bible says, darkness will cover the earth, gross darkness the people. But what God is doing, that under the covering, you know, of the kings, from Zion. God will then, as it were, minister life and light. No, and that life and light will dispel the gross darkness. Amen. In the hearts of men, they will be able to be partakers of the divine nature, and then they will be able to develop the character of God. Amen. So we reconcile men back unto God by reason of the covering that is provided from Zion. Amen. Let's just look at Isaiah chapter 6. Chapter 25. Isaiah 25, verses 6 to 7. Just to back this up. Thank you. Let's read. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people what? A feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, or wine on the lees, wherever if I was talking about deep revelational knowledge. Amen. The next verse. And he will what? Destroy. Where? In this mountain. So it's under the covering of that mountain. Okay? And the face of the covering, that veil coming from the wicked spirits in the heavenly places, from the rulers of the darkness of this world, from that veil, we will remove it by the force of spiritual arms. Amen. So that men will not see the covering cast off and the veil that is spread over all nations. That is the will of God. Amen. All right. So we're now going into verses 20. We're starting from verse 20, and we'll see how far God takes us. Let's read. Let's look at verse 20. Colossians 1, verse 20. Okay. All right, let's read it together. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth, all things in heaven. Next verse. And you that was sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Next verse. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Next verse. If, let's say that first word one more time. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. We spoke about that extensively on Wednesday, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. This is why Paul was made a minister. To reveal the mystery, to make men understand who we really are, the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in us as saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power, so we don't live like mere men. Amen. God will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Amen. Now, let's go back to verse 20. Verse 20. Let's see how far God takes us. God will help us. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. We know Jesus was on the cross. And when he was on the cross, you know, he was bleeding. There was a crown of thorns on his head. There was nails in his hands, both hands and both feet. And blood was seeping away. Okay? All right? By him to reconcile all things unto himself. Now, guess what? All things begin with man, because other things are under the authority of man. If man, you know, Bible says the heavens belong to God, and the earth he has given to the sons of man. Now, God created Adam to have dominion over all things, the fish of the sea, over everything. So in reconciling all things, he's really talking about God is reconciling men unto himself, and then those men will reconcile all things. Because by releasing spiritual power through their spirits that God has given them, then all things will respond to the parent force, life. You must understand that. Amen. So when it says reconcile all things, yes, so he's talking about all things, but men are the principal part, because if he has men, then he has everything else. Man is the key thing. We are the crown jewel of God's creation. Amen. whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. Now, God paid the price for our past sins, for our present sins, and for our future sins. Give God a super hand. Amen. It's a masterstroke, the wisdom of God. Amen. By the shedding of the blood of Jesus, he paid the price for all our sins, past, present sins, current sins, and future sins. Look at Leviticus 17, verse 11, just to establish that quickly. 11. Thank you. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Brethren, it is only blood that can make atonement for sin. Now, we know that in the Old Testament, God used the blood of animals, bulls and goats, you know, to make atonement. Atonement means to cover. So it's a temporary cover. So every year they still had to go back to God, and every year they would repeat, the high priest would go in, you know, and they would cover all the sins of Israel for 1 year. Then every day, you know, any sin that you sin, you again, you will come, you bring a bullock, you will bring a ram, you bring a heifer, you know, and all that, and they kept sacrifice. So there was a constant reminder that the sin was there. It wasn't removed, it was covered. That's the meaning of the word atonement. But in Jesus, we have our sins remitted. Amen. It's very important. Our sins have been removed. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 20. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Thank you. Hebrews. Right. Now let's read together. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood. Guess what? It's the blood that even brought Jesus back. Amen. He went in a way that no man had ever gone. It was faith. But the blood made a way back. Amen. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Next verse. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Now let's look at Hebrews 9, verse 14. It's a Bible study, so we need to establish its foundation in our hearts by faith. Let's look at it. How much more shall the of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, do what? Purge what? Your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Amen. So the blood of Jesus Christ removes sin. That's the word purge. Okay? It cleanses sin, and then it purges our consciences from the guilt and the condemnation that comes with sin. Amen. Amen. And so there is not any remembrance of sin again. It removes it totally. And it restores that connection that we lost with God. Amen. Bible says through him we have access. Okay. So we see that the blood provides remission for all men, both Jew and Gentile, and brings all men into peace with God. And it removes the cause of the enmity. God and man were enemies. And the enmity was because of the sin nature. Man had a nature that was alien to God's nature. As the Bible says, we were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. We were strangers from the covenants of promise. So God was this way and we were this way. Amen. Now the Jews were closer than us, in the sense that their sins were covered. But all of us were still not on God's side. So we were afar off. The Jews were nearer. And God was here. And God was wondering, how am I going to get my people to me? And then Jesus said, I will. Amen. And amen. Amen. We thank the Lord Jesus for his love and his sacrifice. Amen. And so when Jesus, you know, went when he was on the cross, as he died, the life ebbed away. We say the life of the flesh is in the blood. So as the life was ebbing away, sin was taking its place. So he did not sin, but he became sin. Who knew no sin? Amen. So he had not lived. That was the way he paid the price for our sins. So he took the sin by reason of the life that ebbed away, and then he became sin. And the Bible tells us that his visage was marred. Every sickness was put upon him. Because sin, you see, is the root of sickness. Sin is the root of poverty. Sin is the root of everything. It's the root. And as we need to understand that that nature of sin is the root of the actions of sin. So that root is what Jesus took upon himself. No, and when he took it, God turned his back on him. Which is why he said, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Amen. And then when he said that, and Father turned back on him, then Jesus died and gave up the ghost. And he went to hell. Don't believe all those pictures, though. He went to hell, Satan's domain, Satan's headquarters, Satan's lair. And there, you know, of course, you know, there's a joke that, you know, all the spirits were like, they left earth temporarily, and everybody went, like, this man that has been, we have to deal with him, you know, but it's a joke, you know, but the truth is that he went to Satan, so he went into hell, and there, Satan tormented him. He paid the price. He suffered. That is the suffering that gets us born again. It is not the physical suffering per se. It is the spiritual suffering of taking our nature and going to hell when he lived a life of holiness. Amen. It was unfair. So if you look at it with the natural eye, but it was the wisdom of God. Satan was so intent on killing him that he didn't know that God was inserting a joker into the path. And so I need to get him. And that's what makes Satan blind. You know, I need to get him. And so when Satan was so intent, God just take the sin. So Jesus went to hell and he paid the price, you know. For 3 days and three nights, he was in the belly of the earth. Amen. And he fulfilled scripture. The Bible says, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. So he went to it, and that's where he paid the price. And on the third day, the council of heaven was satisfied that the price had been fully paid. Amen. And then God sent the Holy Ghost and said, go get me my son. And he blasted his way into hell. Look at Romans 6:14. Amen. Hallelujah. We serve a mighty God. Amen. Mighty in wisdom. Mighty in power. Romans 6:14. Sorry, Romans 6:4. I beg your pardon. Romans 6:4. Thank you, sir. Therefore, read it to everybody. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. How are you buried by him? By taking, he took your nature. He took your sin. So that's how you are with him, by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. That's the Holy Ghost. Amen. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. So when Jesus just was being raised up, potentially you are being raised up with him. In him. Amen. We are all in him. So when he was raised, so when he rose up from the dead, you know, and all that, all of a sudden, I can imagine that day in hell. This broken man that they had been tormenting and sitting on and laughing and cracking jokes and all that, all of a sudden, he rose up. He went into hell, a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, but he rose up, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. Amen. So he rose up a lion. And then Bible says in Colossians 2:15, he spoiled principalities and powers. He made an open show. It just means that he defeated them. He made them pay. Amen. And then he took from them the keys of death and hell. Amen. Amen. And I know then he rose up from the dead. He went and preached to the spirits that were in prison. Bible talks about Abraham's bosom. Okay, all those who died with an honest heart and fulfilled the law of conscience, they were all there. And he preached to them, of course, who will not go with him? I mean, do you believe in me? I believe. Straight up. And Bible says that, amen, he took captivity captive, amen, and he went up and he gave gifts unto men. Amen. And that's how Jesus went to hell, paid the price by suffering, for our sins. He paid the price and then was raised up by the Holy Spirit on the third day, and then he went and went back to heaven, took his own blood, and took his blood to the, what Moses made was the copy. Jesus now went to the original and sprinkled it with his blood. Amen. And made access for you and I into the very presence of God. Amen. Amen. Now, once we believe in Jesus, we become partakers of his divine nature. And so, as he is God and man, we also are God and man. You are not a man alone. You are a God man. That's why the Bible says, I said ye are gods. And all of you are children of the Most High. We have the divine nature, so we are God. And at the same time, we have physical bodies, so we are men. Amen. All right, that's the will of God. Not by operating the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, God wants us to gradually remove that sin nature. And this is the residual. Thank you, sir. To remove the residual sin nature, because it's removed from our spirits, but it remains in our souls and our bodies. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7 in verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Let's read it again. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all, notice it's all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So we can perfect holiness. Don't let anybody tell you perfection is not possible. It is possible. Holiness can be perfected by using the promises that God has given us. Promises of eternal life. Okay, look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. 2 Peter, let's read together. According as his divine power had given unto us all things that what? Pertain unto life and life is the nature, godliness is the character that the nature produces. Amen. Holiness, godliness, okay? Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Amen. Okay, through the word. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises you might be what? Partakers of the divine. I thought you already had the divine nature. You have it, but you don't have enough of it. God wants us to have it and have it more abundantly. So he gave us particular promises that promise us just the life of God. And one example is what I quoted, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Say, Father, give life to me. No, Father, strengthen me. No, quicken me. We see a lot of it in the Psalm 119. Quicken me, so my soul will not cleave unto the dust. So he's talking about partaking of promises by faith. As you believe the promise and you confess, with the heart man believeth, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation there, yes, you get born again, but salvation in this case now means having more life. Amen. So that as you partake of that life, and you release that life in the place of intercession, it flows from your spirit, flows into your soul, dries out the sin nature. Amen. Flows into the body, dries out the sin nature. So that spirit, soul, and body, you have the divine nature. That's the plan of God. Amen. And that's why he says that by that particle of divine nature, you escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. So that nature will take you to an escape velocity. And you will escape the pool of sin. Brethren, we can live holy lives. We can live holy lives. We don't let your experience, you don't look at your experience. Look at the word. Amen. And look at what God is saying. That's the hope that God has set before us. Amen. So that we can inherit the fullness of the power of the Spirit without measure. Now, we inherit that when we have exercise, when we grow, as we grow in the love of God. No, then ultimately, because love of God is the character of God. No, so when we have developed the character, Bible talks about the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of the love of Christ, then we are now filled with the fullness of God. Then God then releases our inheritance unto us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's move to verse 22. Verse 22, Colossians chapter 1. Okay. In the body of his death, in the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Let's look at this in the NIV. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death. Now we understand that body, had died, had to go to hell after taking our sin. No, to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. We are free from every charge. Amen. We are not going to be free. We are already free. That's who we are. So we are holy. We are without blemish. We are free from accusation. That is who you are. And we need to believe it. Amen. We need to accept it. You are not trying to be holy. You are not trying to be without blemish. You already are in the Spirit, because of what Jesus has done. Then you now, by faith, in agreement with what he has done, using the law of the Spirit of life, you then walk in the experience of it. Amen. So we believe it and then we act upon it. So, but believing is very important. Look at Jeremiah 1, verse 11 to 12. It's very important. What you see, what we see, is extremely important. Jeremiah 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. You have to see what God is showing you. You have to see what the word is saying. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You have to see what he is and see who he is by revelation. Amen. Next verse. And then God said, then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. The question is, what are we seeing? It's very important, brethren. God can only perform what you see. Elijah told Elisha, he asked him after they crossed Jordan, he said, what do you want that I should do unto you? He said, I want a double portion. Then he told him something very important. Let's turn there. Look at 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 10. I want to bring out what he said, that response he made to him. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou what? Say it again. If thou what? See me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so. But if not, it shall not be so. You have to see. It's very important. You must see what God is showing you. And many times, God shows it to you through spiritual fathers. Amen. Amen. So you see it by revelation. You must see the reality of who we are in Christ. That's why the Bible talks about the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in us as saints. You must see it. And that hope that you have takes us within the veil. Amen. That hope takes us within the veil and takes us to experience. Okay. The fullness of what God has promised us. And then verse 23. Let's go to the next verse, Colossians 1, 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. This gospel is for everyone. It's not just for some certain people. this gospel that Paul is preaching is for every creature which is under heaven. And he says something important here. He says that if we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, you can put it this way, anchored. Amen. Which is what we were talking about on Wednesday. And be not moved away. So it means that there are things that are trying to move us away. There are forces that are trying to move you and I away. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the things and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. These things are trying to move us away from continuing. And it's so important that we understand the fact that we need to continue in what we know and in what we have been doing. Amen. You must continue. If you don't continue, then you will not be able to finish. That is, you must understand, and we see John the Baptist, that he said that I am not worthy to latch his shoe. I am not worthy. Yet, the same John the Baptist went to ask and said, are you he that is to come, or look we for another? How did that happen to him? Brethren, if it could happen to John the Baptist, it can happen to us. Amen. And God will not allow it to happen in Jesus' name. But God needs us to continue. It's very important. We need to continue. So is that continuing is very important. What are we continuing? Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 17. Okay. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Okay. As our Christ does that. That ye being rooted and grounded in love. What makes you grounded and settled? Love. Amen. You must be grounded and settled in the character of God. That is what keeps you steadfast. So that the anchor of our soul, like Pastor shared, and Pastor Wigga was sharing on Wednesday, and then Pastor shared afterwards, and they taught us this. I strongly encourage you, you have to listen to that message. It's very important. The anchor of our soul that doesn't allow us to drift, you know, no matter how bad the forces are, if you have an anchor, you will stand. Amen. Bible says grounded and settled. That anchor is the revelation of the hope of what we have. That revelation of who we are in Christ and what Christ has promised us. You know, and seeing that revelation becoming an experience progressively on the inside. That hope keeps you grounded. Amen. Amen. And that's what he's talking about. The next verse. That we'll be able to comprehend with all the saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height? There's a lot in the love of God. He's telling us now that is length, breadth, depth. He's giving you the proportion. It's 3D. The love of God is not just doing one thing. No, it's in many areas, many dimensions. He's trying to tell you that it is at that, but you can fulfill the dimensions. But it's trying to tell you that it has dimensions. Amen. Next verse. And to know. That know there is experiential knowledge. It's not knowing by revelation. The revelation is the hope. That hope, as you practice it, brings you into the experience. That is what keeps us rooted and grounded. So, brethren, Paul is telling us here that we need to continue in the love of God. Amen. And said, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what Jesus died for. And that's what he's expecting. That spirit, soul, and body will be filled with the fullness of God. And will walk in the fullness of the character of God, which is the love of God. Amen. Next verse. Well, okay, next. Okay, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Okay, take us back and give us the amplified of that verse 19. And maybe it's the Spirit that is leading you. That you may really come to know practically through for yourselves. It's not what somebody else is telling you. Nobody can explain the love of God for you. We have to experience it for ourselves. Amen. The love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Amen. This is the body that God is expecting. Bible says, without spot, blemish, wrinkle, any such thing. Bible talks about being holy and unblameable in love. So we continue. What do we continue in? We continue to submit. Let's look at Hebrews 3, 6 to 14. Hebrews chapter 3, thank you. 6 to 14. Yes. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we? We see it again. If we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Next verse. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice. Next verse. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Next verse. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Next verse. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. Amen. Next verse. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Next verse. Take heed, brethren. And that's what God is saying to us now. He says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. What's he saying? In departing from the living God. Brethren, the heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. So it is important that we keep our hearts with all diligence. And that's what God is telling us. So when we say we continue to submit to the revelation of the love of God and to practice it. Amen. And there are specific things that I believe that we should continue in order to be able to do this. One, you continue to trust in mercy and to show mercy. Because it's not of him that willeth. It's of God that shows mercy. And if you have not shown mercy, or you are not showing mercy, on the day when you are needing mercy, what will be in your mercy account? It is extremely important. What will be in our mercy account? You know, it's so important that we understand that our confidence is in the mercy of God. The Bible says, look at Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 16. Quickly, thank you. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace. To do what? Help us in time of need. We need mercy. Mercy is the compassion of God that comes to us from the outside to enable us to be able to do the will of God. It takes God to help us, you know. Bible says, it's of his mercy we are not consumed. It's by his mercy we are faithful. It's by his mercy that we triumph. It's not of him that we live. Yes, you will. Yes, you run. But there are, if it was left to your willing and running, we would not be able to make it. That's what the Bible tells us. And that's what we see by experience. So we need to trust in mercy and to show mercy. To ask life for people. To forgive people. To release people. You know, not counting people's sins. You know, not keeping a record. And that's the seventh time she has done it. How about you? Well, how many times have you done your own? Remember that the thought of foolishness is sin. How many times have you thought something and God saw the thought in your heart? You know, so if we, then this is where, you know, it's, we thank God for the way we have been so well taught in this house, you know, that we confess our sins frequently and we clean with the blood. And we confess our sins. So, and in confessing our sins, it's not just your own, you know, all those connected to you and all those in the sphere of your influence. Amen. So you confess everybody's sins. That in itself is an act of mercy. Okay, and then you ask life for people, because when you confess your sins and you clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, so that it makes access. If now that person is now connected, as it were, back to God, even though they don't know it. Amen. Amen. So, you know, and that then you can minister life. Then Jesus, the matter, you can pray the Spirit and the person will change. It works, brethren. That's the way you are going to reign as kings in life. By subduing all things, by the power of God, he is able to subdue all things unto himself. So we subdue it, you know, by showing mercy. So it starts with showing mercy. Number two, we continue in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. You know, the Bible says that I found in David the son of Jesse a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. So our delight should be to do his will. Amen. That's the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is doing the will of God. Not doing it reluctantly. Doing it wholeheartedly. Amen. Embracing the will of God. Some of us, we only do the will of God when we don't have any other choice. When God has boxed us into a corner. Then you now say, okay. But not every day God will box you into a corner. It's a free will offering. So God's not going to... But initially, no, God is trying to teach you. God will help you. But once you know, after a while, God will leave because you know. So brethren, it's important that we begin to learn to submit to the will of God. Look at John chapter 4, verse 34. John chapter 4 verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Amen. Now, the will of God is what he's saying to you presently, currently, now. That's the will of God. And you know, I remember here the story that Pastor Toto has told us so many times about Kenneth Hagin. You know, how God was going, Mom was sharing with us on yesterday and shared with us also on Thursday. You know, was sharing with us how, you know, Kenneth Hagin, you know, God allowed him to have an accident and his hand was in a sling. And God, Jesus Christ, appeared to him in hospital and told him that I allowed this to happen to you. To call your attention. And guess what he did? What the sin was that he put his teaching ministry above his prophetic ministry. Because the teaching ministry, everybody likes it. But the prophetic ministry is not very palatable because it points to you and it shows you up. You know, and it, of course, you know, you think about sin, moral sin, you think, the man is doing the work of God. He's doing the work of God. He's teaching, going around, depriving himself of staying with his family. And yet, it's about the will of God, brethren. It's about the will of God. It is mandatory for us to do the will of God. Don't do it as a duty. Exercise yourself in doing the will of God. Make it a discipline and ultimately let get to this place where it becomes a delight. I delight to do thy will. Hebrews 10:7. That I am come to do your will. I don't want to do anything. If you are not sure, do what the Bible says. Always. You can, if you're not sure, should I not? Just do what the Bible says. Embrace the will of God. It's very important because that is where, if you are not sure, I'm not sure it's the will of God. Okay, what does the Bible say? That one that the Bible says, do it. You are on safe ground. Amen. And in that place, you are in the will of God. You know, and that will, that is where all the resources of heaven will back you. Even if you are making a mistake, the result of it will back you and will turn it around. Because you are doing it in faith. It's very important. Don't want to do your own thing. No, that's stubbornness. It's not going to take us closer to the will of God. And there's a story here, the story of the centurion, that I find really very, very instructive. Because for me, there was something Mommy shared with us on Sunday, it was on Wednesday. You know, and she said it in Yoruba. But, it just kept reverberating in my mind. It said, Oluwa Yamilo. That means God, use me. I yield myself as a vessel. Please use me. It's a different mentality from what I'm doing. God, I've tried to. Is it only me? Why is everybody else is not doing? Why is it only me? Always me. And thinking as if we are the ones doing God a favor. It is God who is doing us a favor by allowing us to be a part of what He's doing. And we must always keep that mentality. Amen. We're talking about submitting to the will of God. It is a privilege to do the will of God. Some other people want to do and God says, no, you can't do. Amen. So it's important that we submit to the will of God, and we allow God to. And look at the story in Luke chapter 7, quickly, as we begin to round up. Luke chapter 7. And a certain centurion servant, let's read together. And a certain centurion servant who was there unto him was sick and ready to die. Next verse. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servants. So he was a good man. It wasn't even for himself. It wasn't for his family. It was for his servants. Next verse. Quick. Next verse. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. He had blessed Jerusalem, so obviously there was a legal basis for Jesus to do this for him. For he loved our nation, and he had built us a synagogue. Next verse. Then Jesus went with them. Jesus agreed with them. And when he was now not far from the house, this centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself. Why? For I am not. Look at that mentality. He did things that made him worthy, but he told himself and told Jesus, I am not worthy. Amen. That thou shouldest enter under my roof. Next verse. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy. Say it again. To come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Do you consider yourself worthy of all the goodness that God is showing you? You deserve it. All the prayers that you have prayed. All the people, all the amount of giving that you have done. All the people that you have helped. Job thought he was worthy. He thought he was worthy. And yet, see what happened to him. Because nobody is worthy. What makes us worthy is the sacrifice and the suffering that Jesus has paid. Amen. Yes, so that is what makes us worthy. And we always need to remind ourselves so we will be small in our own eyes. Otherwise, the more we do, and the more we do, the more you pray, there is a tendency to become drunk on our own wine. You'll be calling out, I'm going to try again. Like Elijah said, Lord, it's only me. All the other people have departed, it's only me. And God retired him. God will not retire us in Jesus' name. Tell yourself every time, I am not worthy. except by the blood. Amen. It is the mercy and the grace of God through the blood that makes me worthy. Amen. And even then, is everything I'm doing it by the mercy and the grace of God. Amen. So God is still helping me to do it. So Lord, I give you all the glory. Now help me to be small in my own eyes. Amen. Okay. And we see that he saw Jesus' authority. And he knew that from that authority, that you can't have authority if you are not submitted to another authority. He's a soldier. He knows. So he saw that, this man is the man of authority. He must also be a man of submission. He doesn't need to come. He should just say it. And Jesus commended his faith. He said, I have not seen so great faith. Brethren, faith comes by what we say in our hearts. Amen. What you say in your heart is very important. Amen. And then, of course, we continue in the blood. We continue in the word. And we continue in the spirit. How do we continue, in the blood? By frequent application of the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, we pray and we do that frequently, once every 6 hours, at every opportunity, in every temptation. Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. You continue. The Bible says it will make you perfect in every good work to do that which is well pleasing. Because you have access. Grace flows through that access. You have life. So you now have light. And that light helps to see his will. Very important. And you keep walking in the will of God. So the blood, it's important that you understand that blood, it removes grave clothes. No, it removes sin substance, and then it provides access for you to now, when you release the power of God, the power of God can now remove mindsets and mentalities and ideas and imaginations that are contrary to the word of God. That God wants to remove. Amen. No, so we must all, that the work of the blood is extremely important. It makes you perfect. It's what makes us perfect because it gives us access to that perfection. Amen. And then we back it up with the word of God. Okay, the truth of God. So look at James chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. James chapter 1, 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness what? The engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. What saves our souls is the word. The word that we put in, that we believe, and that we act on. Jesus Christ said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. Amen. Free. Free to be able to walk in holiness. Free to be able to be without accusation. Free to be able to be unblameable, without blemish. That is the will of God for us. Amen. Amen. God told the kings in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 17, he said, no, keep the word. The sin nature in the heart has a tendency to make us proud. Bible says our hearts be lifted up. So God already knows. So he says, use the word. Keep that word. Think it. Meditate it. Do it. When you do it, it will keep sin down and flush it out. Amen. Bible talks about the washing of water by the word. And then we continue in the spirit. Amen. Look at Jude chapter 1, verse 20 to 21. We continue praying in the spirit, communion prayer. We continue praying with travail, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and allowing Christ to be formed in us. Amen. So Bible says, keep yourselves where? In the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Amen. You see, mercy releases eternal life. Next verse. No, you didn't start with verse 20. Yes. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your what? Most holy faith. What? Praying in the Holy Ghost. So, as we pray in the Spirit, we keep ourselves in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. So by the blood, by the word, by the spirit, we keep ourselves in that love of God. We are grounded and settled, and we are not moved away from that hope that God has set before us. May the Lord bless us and help us to be doers of his word in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
We thank God for his word. Amen.